it's important that we create an opportunity for folks to understand what these individuals are able to bring to bear by virtue of their own experiences and what they've witnessed themselves.
In the end, we are all neighbors. We are all one community.
A very demanding job with a lot of issues coming at us in the future, and I very much look forward to it.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we talk about the issue of the day, the week, the past month. You get it. We discuss impeachment. And we sit down with the newly elected mayor of Pittsfield and the town supervisor in North Elba, a former Olympian. While Congressman Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th House District is among the millions of Americans closely watching the start of public impeachment hearings.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining this morning.
Delgado, a first-term Hudson Valley Democrat, held a conference call with reporters minutes before Wednesday's impeachment hearing began in Washington. He discussed his recent work on veterans issues, town halls, and the state of some legislation, including a bill that would allow the Department of Veterans Affairs to give counties grants for local veteran cemeteries. Delgado also weighed in on some of the top national headlines. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court signaled it could be ready to allow the Trump administration to end DACA, the 7-year-old Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that allows more than 500,000 immigrants to work and study in the U.S. without the threat of deportation. The Obama-era project could be scrapped when the Supreme Court and its conservative majority decides the issue by June. President Trump tweeted that a deal will be made with the Dems for DACA recipients to stay. Delgado said he is deeply concerned regardless of that tweet and said the administration's moves are heartless and lack any modicum of compassion.
It's sad that we are even finding ourselves in this position with individuals who are American in every other way besides on paper. And we need to change that fact. And instead of complicating life, we should be pursuing legislation as we've done in the House with the Dreamers and Promises Act, get that through the House, as we've done, and now get it through the Senate and sign it into law. That's what we should be talking about.
As for impeachment, Delgado was a relatively late backer of the effort by House Democrats, voicing his support September 24th, just before Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the move. Delgado said he hopes the first public hearings will be instructive for the public, since many voters haven't followed each twist and turn.
It's important that we create an opportunity for folks to understand what these individuals are able to bring to bear by virtue of their own experiences and what they've witnessed themselves. I've been following these dynamics closely and will continue to follow these dynamics closely. I think it's important that we all come together during this period of time and make sure that the truth, above all else, is given an opportunity to be heard.
Delgado also reiterated what secured his support for the impeachment investigation.
My issue from the beginning, separate and apart from that dynamic, was that the president was using the office of the presidency to ask for a investigation into a political rival from a foreign entity.
Delgado was also asked about one of the remaining major issues Congress is expected to act on this year, the USMCA, the trade deal meant to replace NAFTA. He says the issue is vital for his district and its many farmers.
Leadership is in constant conversations and negotiations around attempts to either create changes to the agreement itself, which is unlikely, but a side agreement meant to address some of the concerns as they pertain to enforcement provisions around labor and the question of biologics piece. I'm watching this closely. It's unclear yet to what extent the side agreement will be finalized, but obviously we want to get to a point where this happens sooner than later.
And it looks like a government shutdown will be avoided. Fellow Hudson Valley Democrat Nita Lowy, chair of the House Appropriations Committee, announced a deal to keep the government funded through December 20th. On November 5th, voters in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, stuck with incumbent Linda Tyer in a hotly contested mayoral election. Tyer served the city's first 4-year mayoral term after her election in 2015, but finished second in the September preliminary election. In the general, she took 52% at the polls against at-large city councilor Melissa Mazzio's 48%. Sitting down with WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes at City Hall, Tyre reflected on the campaign and her plans for the next term.
I'm very honored to have been selected to serve another term by the people of our city. And what I feel most strongly about is that it was validation of the work that we've done in the last 4 years. And the idea that we would like to see more of what you've been doing to build a stronger city around an energized economy, keep working hard on public safety. We're looking forward to efforts around public schools. There are a number of things that I'm thinking about that we'll start to tackle early on in January 2020.
This was a very contentious, hard-fought election. I'm interested in the wake of that. You know, do you have a message for Pittsfielders or some sort of gesture to sort of show this sort of unity after a very vocal and hard-fought conversation?
Certainly. So the election was a fair and full airing of the issues. And so I think in the end, we are all neighbors. We are all one community. I believe in my heart of hearts that everybody wants the best for the city of Pittsfield and for themselves and their families and their neighborhood. And so while there are people from Pittsfield who did not vote for my reelection, I still feel that I represent them and that I listened throughout the course of the campaign about the issues that were raised and the conversations that were had, and I take that to heart.
You're the first Pittsfield mayor to serve a four-year term. Now you're looking into a second four-year term. When you conceptualize the next 4 years, do you have any sort of benchmarks for how you'd like it to progress, you know, looking into the mid-2020s?
So I think certainly we want to continue to evolve our economy and job creation strategies. There are a number of things that I think we could be doing to improve recruitment and retention of young professionals, and I'd like to join up with our business leaders on an effort to have sort of a formalized recruitment process. It's something I wanted to do in my first term. Unfortunately, we got waylaid by other things, including solving a fiscal crisis that we inherited. But I'm really interested in the possibility of expanding that effort in this term. Certainly we need to have deeper conversations about public education around teacher recruitment and retention. That's going to be a very important conversation, especially with the infusion of new state funds coming into Pittsfield. And we can only be a strong city if we have really good public schools. And I know that teachers in every school and administrators in every school really want our schools to be the best they can be for our kids and our families. And we're going to continue to focus on law enforcement and public safety. That's going to be critical. And that includes the possibility of a new police station because we're trying to run a modern law enforcement agency out of a 1930s building. And that certainly impacts our ability, along with other things that are important for public safety.
Come January, you'll also have a new city council, well, some familiar faces and some newcomers as well. I'm interested, do you have any projections for what it will be like to work with this new cast of characters in the city council chambers?
Well, I am really looking forward to developing strong, working, productive relationships and collaborative conversations. And I understand the intent of the checks and balance system. So I don't expect every city councilor to support every initiative or every idea that I put forward. What I do hope is that there will be open lines of communication so that when there is disagreement, we can sort through that in a way that doesn't damage relationships, but continues to put forward initiatives that are good for our city.
You know, it does seem like there's an opportunity for you to reintroduce some ideas that failed over the last couple of years. I think, of course, of the At Home in Pittsfield program. Will programs like that or things of its ilk be reemerging come the new session?
Certainly, At Home in Pittsfield is something that I will be picking up again in January, looking at it, refreshing our perspective on it, and bringing it forward, because I believe really strongly that that is an important component of stabilizing the quality of life in our neighborhoods. There's an added component to this, though, that I think is important. I really want to reassess the idea that we focus on our neighborhoods that are most in need, so Westside and Morningside, and how do we link up neighborhood stabilization and quality of life with improving the facilities of our public schools and trying to maximize that potential.
Looking into the new year, of course, there's the new city council coming in January. What are the real sort of big dates going to 2020 that you're keeping an eye on as the leader of Pittsfield?
Obviously, we'll be working on a municipal operating budget and a capital plan for 2020. We have a number of potential new business opportunities that will be coming forward, I think, in the first 6 months of the new term. So those will be happening. And again, hopefully we're having conversations about At Home in Pittsfield and trying to push that across the finish line.
Pittsfield, Massachusetts Mayor Linda Tyer speaking with our Josh Landes. In January, the town of North Elba, New York, which includes the village of Lake Placid, will have a new supervisor. Supervisor Roby Politi, who has served since 2008, decided not to run for re-election, setting up a four-way race for the seat. WAMC North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley reports former Olympian Jay Rand will take over the position.
Jay Rand was a member of the 1968 Olympic ski jumping team and one of many athletes who make the Lake Placid area home. He worked for the Olympic Regional Development Authority for over 30 years, half of it spent managing the ski jumping, bobsled, luge, cross country, and biathlon complexes, and the other 15 years managing the Whiteface Mountain Ski Center. After his retirement from ORTA, he spent 7 years leading the New York Ski Educational Foundation. Rand also sits on the North Elba Town Board.
I'm coming to a point in my life where, for the first time, I've had the time I think that the job of supervisor will take. I think it's a very demanding job with a lot of issues coming at us in the future, and I very much look forward to it.
A top issue among voters in the four-way race was the need to regulate short-term rental properties. Rand, a Republican, says the town board has been working on creating a joint law for the town and village of Lake Placid, and it's past time for concrete action.
We hope to get this into effect very soon. I think it's overdue, but we need to get a handle on registrations and numbers and address some of the problems such as parking and noise and overcrowding, basic safety issues. So I think it just deserved a lot of comment, public comment. We're trying to make sure that we're doing the very best for the entire community, and something that I'm hoping will be put into effect, shortly after the turn of the year.
In a letter to voters published in the Adirondack Daily Enterprise, Rand thanked everyone who took part in the electoral process and noted, quote, "there are many challenges ahead," unquote. He outlined a few that will need attention.
There's a salt issue, salting of highways, especially around Mirror Lake and in the village that are going into Mirror Lake. Sable River Association has been working with us, and we see the salt buildup in Mirror Lake. That definitely is a big issue. And we've got our sidewalk around Mirror Lake that needs replacing. Those are two that stand out. And we've got a lot of preparation for the World University Games in 2023. It's not really in the hands of the town, but we certainly want to be responsive along with the village and making sure that those games go off very well.
Rand will be sworn in as North Elba's town supervisor during the first town board meeting of 2020 on January 14th. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thank you for listening. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.